The length of growing season is one of our main yield limiting factors, so to speak, right? Because at least for, I mean, as you go further north in Michigan, folks barely have 150 days to grow crops, you know, compared to if I'm in Texas, you know, I have more than 300, right? So I think that's a big part of our systems. And as a consequence, you know, plays a big role in terms of how soon shall I start, right?
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Grow a carbon crop below your row crop. Add carbon to your balance sheet with Loam Bio. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Mark Licht, Associate Professor and Extension Cropping Systems Specialist at Iowa State University. Please subscribe to our channel to receive notifications of new episodes. Today, I'm honored to have with us on the show Dr. Manny Singh. He is an associate professor at Michigan State University, where he is an extension cropping systems agronomist. Really, quite honestly, a position that's very, very similar to the position I have here at Iowa State. So, yeah, really excited about having Manny on the show. Welcome to the show, Manny.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate that. And as you said, you know, my position is pretty similar to what you do in Iowa. So looking forward to our chat. I think I have been in Michigan for maybe way too long, right? When you have to think about it, about 10 years or so. I have been to different places. I was in Florida for a long time. And for some reason, you know, decided to move up north. But yeah, it's been fun. And I think we have a good program here.
Yeah. And so, Manny, I know that you work in corn and soybeans as part of your cropping systems, but you also do some work in wheat. Do you work with other crops?
Yeah. So I think Midwest, again, corn and soybean sort of dominates the landscape, right? Michigan, we do have a lot of winter wheat. We have really good growing conditions for wheat, and our yields are really good. I think these are the three crops I work on. They keep me pretty busy. I have done a few other things. I have done some work on winter barley, but there isn't a big market for that around here. There's a lot of dry beans and sugar beets in the area, but I just don't have time to work on those crops. So I focus mostly on these three crops. Yep.
Yeah. Michigan has a wide variety of crops that are grown. I know potatoes and a wide variety of vegetable and fruit tree crops as well.
Yep. I was surprised when I moved to Michigan from Florida. You know, Florida is very diverse along with California, and we all know that. But Michigan is more diverse than Florida. Michigan is number two in terms of diversity, and I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Great Lakes, you know, that surrounds us, you know, we get a lot of these unique microclimates where we have a lot of fruits, we have a lot of veggies, there's pretty much everything around.
Yeah, that's amazing when you really think about it, being as far north. But now today we are going to focus in a little bit. We're going to talk about corn and soybean planting decisions. And so as we're recording this for the audience, I should maybe note that we're probably, 4 to 6 weeks out from really getting to into the planting season. So kind of keep that in mind and as part of this conversation as we go along. I know some of our counterparts in the South and Southeast are already starting to plant, and obviously research plots are going in that way as well. So maybe, Manny, let's start with this. It's a question that I often get in here in Iowa, and it's how do I decide to plant and when do I decide to plant and get things rolling?
Yeah, to me, I think that's a really good question. And again, I'm even further north compared to where you are, right? So upper Midwest, so to speak, right? Compared to you or folks further south, right? So the length of growing season is one of our main yield limiting factor, so to speak, right? Because at least for, I mean, as you go further north in Michigan, folks barely have 150 days to grow crops, you know, compared to if I'm in Texas, you know, I have more than 300, right? So I think that's a big part of our systems. And as a consequence, you know, plays a big role in terms of how soon shall I start, right? Which again, when I was in Florida, that was not an issue. You know, I could plant today, I could plant in a week's time, and I was still okay. But over here, sort of, you know, jumping on that timely planting is very critical. I use the term timely, not early planting, because I think you can get in trouble if you push towards too early of a planting. Again, knowing you want to get started ASAP, you know, because you only have so many days to grow your crops, you know, you are sort of chasing that end goal, getting your crops harvested out of ground before the fall frost, right? So timely start is important, but if you sort of jump the gun, plant too early in these uneven, unideal field conditions, and we are talking about soil moisture and soil temperature, right? I think those are the two factors that lead into field conditions, and that to me is more important than chasing a calendar date, which again is important, right? As a farmer, that's what I can easily track, right? But focusing on field conditions, and then the response of the crops that we can go into, you know, corn and soybeans dominate, and they do sort of, their response is different to these field conditions, right? But yeah, keeping an eye on field conditions, knowing timely planting is important, but not pushing for too early of an planting, because that can lead to both yield losses in the growing season as well as some long-term implications, right? In terms of compaction, driving on too wet of a ground and things like that, right? I think where our weather is heading, that's another point I want to make. We are getting more water into our system, but it's coming when we probably don't want it, right? During that April and May window, we are getting more water, more of these extreme rainfall events, and that again can cause a non-ideal conditions. Temperature is, I think, still a worry. 50 degrees, I think, is what we have been using, right, for a long time as a rule of thumb to get going. And that's the soil temperature, not the air temperature, right? A lot of people don't think it that way. But I think some of the new genetics can handle temperatures below that threshold as well. And corn and beans, I think, vary in there too. But yeah, keeping, I think, number one, an eye on the soil moisture and then temperature, thinking about field conditions in terms of getting started.
Yeah, Manny, I would agree with you completely. We, you know, in Iowa, we have people that really want us to hone in on, you know, what is that ideal date? And, you know, I can't give you an ideal date, right? It changes from one year to the next. I've seen mid-May planted corn do better than mid-April planted corn. I have also seen July planted soybeans do better than, you know, May planted soybeans, which now we can get into, you know, late planting, right? But I my point being is, you know, a planting date is really hard to hone in on, but planting conditions are really where we need to be at. And so I'm glad that you stress that, you know, in what you were saying there. So let me maybe jump into this a little bit more deeply and, you know, thinking about, I know you talk about timely planting, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that we have to be thinking about that. But we also know that we have farm sizes that are, you know, increasing. And so what I would term as our ideal planting window is no longer large enough to you know, for some of these farms to get all their acres planted timely. And because of that, then we, you know, start thinking about what I would consider early planting versus late planting. And if we start on that early side, how do we approach that? Are there certain considerations that we need to be looking at?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, as a researcher, that is something I don't have to worry as much, right? We are putting research plots in, you know, but if I'm a farmer, I have so much area to cover, you know, that becomes a limitation. And that's where I think the response of the plant to these non-ideal conditions comes into play as well, right? So I think to me, I think it comes back to the question that a lot of folks around ask us is, it used to be, you know, corn is the king kind of a deal, right? And you start planting corn first. But now I think the question becomes, you know, should I plant corn first or should I go with beans? There's a lot of popular press articles, a lot of research on early timely planted beans, you know, and we have dived into that a lot over the last 6-7 years, you know, again, sort of comparing, okay, it's not ideal, but yeah, we know farmers have to pull the trigger when things are sort of borderline, right? Not ideal, but and I think one piece we have seen is, at least it's more true for me than even compared to you guys or even folks further south, because of the length of growing season. Timely planting is more critical as you move further north, right? Because your growing season is getting shorter, right? So I think that is more important just to begin with. And again, any delay in planting for us is a bigger issue than you guys, right? For me over here, June planted beans are not gonna do better than May. Yeah, I have seen like June 1 can do better than May 10th, you know, but yeah, once you are June 10th onwards, you know, now you just don't have enough time, right? So again, I think number one factor becomes how do I avoid delay in planting, right? And then you're pushing towards these early season plantings. And between these two crops, we have seen like how these plants respond to these non-ideal field conditions. And I think year in, year out, we have seen that soybeans are more forgiving, so to speak, to these non-ideal conditions compared to corn. They have more plasticity, so to speak. They can adapt to these stressful conditions more because the plant is able to branch out, right? Most of the varieties, soybean varieties we grow around here, they are these indeterminate types that branch out, right? So if you have uneven stand, you push towards early planting, you had some loss in plant stand, right? Or you had some uneven emergence because of those field conditions. And we all have done that, right? You plant April 20th and 3 weeks out, you still don't have anything coming out of ground. And you're like, where are my plants, right? And again, that longer time is exposing those seedlings to these various abiotic stresses that can lead to, again, loss in some plant stand or uneven stand. And soybean plant is able to compensate for that, right? It's able to branch out. And if you have a missing plant close by or you have a V3 versus V1 plant, they're able to compensate. And I think that's where we have seen some yield penalty by pushing towards these early plantings in beans, but it's rare. That's very different than what we have seen on the corn side. When we push those to these unideal conditions, again, this uneven emergence is a much bigger issue on the corn side. The way we have bred the corn plant, we don't get any tillers, right? And we rarely get a second ear on those plants, right? So if you have this uneven stand or you have loss of plant stand, that becomes a much bigger issue for corn. And I think for the most part around here, when we push towards these mid to late April plantings for corn, we do get a yield penalty. And that to me is very important, right? So even like if you are thinking, if you only have one planter, you know, that comes into play. But even if you have multiple planting systems, I think you want to be very careful pushing the trigger on corn plantings because you might end up hurting yourself in terms of loss in yield potential. while on the bean sites, that typically does not happen. So you get more of an extended planting window for beans. For corn, it's not that case, right? So I think that is something we have to be careful about, rethinking what the planting sequence, planting order ought to be. I think there is this window early in the season when we can push ahead with soybeans. We know it's not ideal, but yeah, again, we want to get going, and I think soybeans tend to do okay there. But then coming back to corn is still critical, I believe.
Yeah, I think in a lot of respects, you know, what we've found here in Iowa is soybeans are able to maybe withstand some of the marginal planting conditions. So if you're maybe on the early side of the planting windows and it's a little bit cooler, maybe a little bit wet, soybeans are going to still do okay. If you're, you know, if you just got, you know, a 3-inch rain and you're coming back after that rain, again, soybeans are going to be a little bit more resilient if you come back a half day or a day too early. Same thing with like cold injury, you know, thinking about planting, and then, you know, with corn, boy, we really like to hold off, you know, 24 to 48 hours ahead of a cold spell, right? I think soybeans will come through that. And so I think you're right. There is, you know, soybeans are a little bit more forgiving in marginal situations, marginal seedbed conditions. At the same point, I think, and I think you were saying this, and I just didn't quite hear it, right? But I think corn is, it likes those ideal conditions, you know, and so it's going to respond much better to kind of ideal planting conditions. And it really does have a need to be planted, you know, timely, you know, and at least what we see in Iowa, and I'd like to see if you'd confirm this in Michigan, you know, we see that corn yields start to fall off really quickly, usually right around the 15th of May. And so our yield penalty for late planting on corn is much greater than that yield penalty for late planting on soybean.
Yeah, you're right on money there. That's where I was heading that year. Timely planting in corn is still very critical, right? And we have seen that, I think, around the towards the mid to late May, when we even have some data, like when we were planting, I think between May 15th through even 25th, that was sort of our ideal window. After May 25th, the decline in corn was about 1% per day. Beans were about 0.5%. So that again tells me that, yeah, you still have to get corn planted on time, but not too early, right? So again, that's where I think it becomes a little more complex, and I hate to say it, but I think that's a reality we are in. It needs more planning, so to speak, but yeah, again, starting with beans, then switching to corn, and then finishing with beans, I think it's sort of, I think, how I envision things being done.
Yeah, that's very similar to what I say. I add on the caveat of, you know, it really doesn't matter if you plant corn first or soybeans first. It matters that you have corn planted before you hit those critical days, you know, at the end of the planting window. So.
And again, the other caveat I will add is that you don't put corn in those non-ideal field conditions. It's not the first, again, I think I even think about every farm is different, right? I might have more area that is a good ground for timely planting, right? Based on my soil texture, based on my drainage, you know, my crop rotation. So finding those fields that are good candidates for timely planting, I think that's part of the equation. But just know that, yeah, you don't want to put corn in non-ideal ground because that can hurt you, right? While also making sure that, yeah, you don't delay it too much. And that's where soybeans are a little bit more forgiving, and you can sort of, you know, play around with them around those really narrow window for corn planting, right? But again, just planting time is not a silver bullet. I think we can dive into that later. But again, I think that's just part of the whole puzzle, part of the system, right? Get started on time.
Yep, I would agree. So let's maybe focus on soybeans here a little bit. And really think about what are the management practices that we may need to adjust if we're planting soybeans maybe a little bit earlier or into marginal conditions. What have you seen as far as seeding rates, you know, I'll even say, you know, like a fungicide or insecticidal seed treatments and some of those management practices.
Yeah. And I think that that's very important, right? Again, once I know, you know, thinking about my fields, you know, good candidates for early planting versus delay, you know, to me, I sort of think, okay, for this ground that's candidate for early planting, I might need to have a different management. Versus this other ground, you know, that typically gets delayed, I might need to have a different management package for that and plan ahead of time, right? Because we are making these decisions before we know the weather for a given season, right? And that's kind of a trick, right? So we have done a lot of work just looking at this, you know, based on planting time, what is the ideal management package, right? Seed treatment and seeding rate, I think they sort of go hand in hand because you're trying to establish a good plant stand, right? Getting close to that 100,000 plants per acre, I think being a good rule of thumb. But again, soybeans tend to be more forgiving. We have seen that even stands as low as 60,000, you know, per acre, relatively uniformly distributed, right? Tend to do okay. And I think what we have seen is that soybeans in like high yielding environments, you really don't have to push the seeding rate too high. And early planting is typically high yielding environments. So what we were chasing was, do we need to really bump up our seeding rate for early planting? We did not see that. Our number we have been using around here is about 130,000 seeds per acre. And that number did not change for timely versus again early planting. Late planting was a different scenario, but for time, early planting, we did not see benefit. Putting on a seed treatment, especially fungicide as part of that package, I think was beneficial, at least maintaining a good plant stand, right? We did not see as much impact on yield potential, actually, by using seed treatment. But I sort of think from an insurance perspective, right? You want, like, if you're pushing to these non-ideal conditions, you want sort of an insurance package, right? And I think having a right seed treatment gives you that more than pushing to higher seeding rate. I don't think you need both. I have seen farmers pushing to higher seeding rates and using a seed treatment under early planting. And I think that's too much of an insurance. And where we are in terms of prices, that's not going to make you money. So I think being like planning ahead and picking at least one part of that package, I think gives you best returns on your investment.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, we fall into the how do we insure our soybean crop? And, you know, a lot of people are probably seeding on the higher side of where they need to be to really what they're trying to do is insure basically greater than 100,000 plants per acre at the end of the year. Right. So I think you're right. Pay attention to your costs a little bit, right? You may not need both the higher seeding rate and the fungicide. That makes perfect sense.
And another piece there is like, I think we have thought about this even idea of replant, right? And I think that was the word we used to use. And now I don't think we are there. I think we are either repair plant. If you don't have that, you know, I think 100K is still pretty good, but I think it stands as low as 60 to 70K tend to do okay, because any replant is a delayed planting, right? And you get a yield penalty plus these extra costs to it, right? So as long as I think you are at that threshold, you are okay. If you're below or you have areas within the field, going in and sort of repair planting those is the way to go. And if you have, again, V3, V4 plant right next to V1, soybeans are okay there, right? So that's a recommendation on the soybean side. It's very different on the corn side, but again, this is another piece where pushing soybeans to these little bit non-ideal conditions tend to work okay.
Let's dive into that a little bit more, because I think you're touching on something that's really changing in our mentality over the last, I'll say 5 to 10 years, right? But we used to talk about replanting soybeans. And you just brought up repair planting of soybeans. So what do you mean by that?
So again, I think the idea is that you don't go and sort of till out the already established stand and replant the whole field, right? You just go and you identify the areas that are below the threshold, below 60K, and you fill the gap in. You can sort of, again, if you're in 15 inches, you can, or 30, you can offset your planter in those areas, right? And fill those by, again, based on your stand count, another, whatever, 80 to 100,000 seeds per acre, right? The plants that were already there are still going to give you some really good yields, right? So that's different than if you go and replant. It's pretty much you are restarting, so to speak, right? And now you're dealing with, again, that delayed planting. And that's even more important, again, as you go further north. For our growers, that's even a bigger issue. More likely than not, that replant is going to give you lower yields and lower profits. And I think a lot of times we even recommend that do nothing. You know, if you're around that 60, 70K, you might need to be on top of your weed control program and other issues, right? But in terms of yield potential, you probably are at your max.
Yeah, I would agree. And that originally planted soybean crop is going to be the best yielding, right? And so, yes, coming back in and adding a few more seeds, thickening up that stand makes a lot of sense. I think, as you talked about it, there's a lot of benefits going that direction, and replanting is late planting. And I think that's the key there. So you mentioned, kind of 60,000 as being kind of that lower threshold. Now, do you think it's wise even below 60,000 to maybe, replant or repair plant? Or does that get into this? It kind of depends on time frame of, you know, what time of year is it and why and what's going on?
Yeah, I think I can give a classic it depends answer right here, right? That's what a typical agronomist would say. But yeah, I think it depends on even the risk level a given farmer is willing to take, right? Above that threshold, it's easy, right? Repair planting is the way to go. But if you're way below that, I think that's where I think it comes back to your location. Like maybe folks in your area or further south, replant might be the way to go. But around here, further north, I think a repair plant might still give you the best return because of, again, the timing issue, right? So.
That makes great sense. So I'm going to push our time a little bit because there's a couple of questions that I want to dive into yet. We kind of talked around the early and later planting and repair planting on soybeans. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, with corn, if we do get into kind of the later time frame or the past that, you know, that critical planting date, you know, how do we adjust our seeding rates or maturities or other management practices to kind of make the best of that situation?
Yeah. So again, I think if we do the contrast, beans versus corn, I think one critical piece is we do not recommend repair plant on corn, right? It's still a replant because again, the plants in corn, even plant stand is very critical. Otherwise, plants compete with each other. So replant is the way to go on corn, not repair plant. And again, that's where you have to be more careful pushing towards early conditions and then having to face that decision, right? That's one point. If we get delayed again, at least on the soybean side, increasing your seeding rate is a one easy practice, right? Because again, you want to close the canopy sooner and you don't have enough time, right? So going to higher seeding rates does pay off on the soybean side. Even narrow row spacing, we have done that work, you know, 15 inches actually did give us even benefit under early plantings. But for sure, in late planting scenario, 15, 7.5 inch, all were beneficial. That's all on the soybean side. On the corn side, we have not seen the benefit of changing seeding rate as planting gets delayed. That I don't think we have seen any response there. What we have looked into is this idea about what's the optimal maturity of the hybrid, corn hybrid, or even soybean variety for that matter. And how does that depend on the planting time, right? And we have done a lot of work on that piece. And I think there is some similarities. We have seen that, again, starting with corn, for those timely plantings, now you have a longer growing season, right? I think we have even pushed 5 to 7 units longer than what we typically use. And we have seen yield benefit of, I believe, 5 to 10%. And even profitability, accounting for infield, dry down, any moisture discounts, I think we still gained 4 to 6% in terms of profits. With the delay in corn planting, yeah, switching hybrids does make sense. But we have seen this phenomena called compression of heat unit needed by the corn hybrids with the delay in planting. And that provides sort of a hedge against needing to switch maturity if that phenomena was not occurring, right? Pretty much what it means is if you plant the same hybrid on May 30th versus May 1, the May 30th planting needs less heat units to reach black layer. So that provides some hedge, right? So we recommend not switching maturity if you're still in that May planting window. But once you get into June, yeah, then going to like 5 units earlier or so does help to get to that timely maturity, right? But this compression phenomena does help there. I think that was sort of a unique finding we had. I think same thing actually occurs on the bean side as well. We have seen that, yeah, with those early plantings where, again, soybeans are more forgiving, pushing like 0.5 to 0.7 maturity longer than you typically have been using does provide benefits actually, because just early planting gives you a longer vegetative phase, right? You're getting more number of nodes, more number of pods, more number of beans per unit area, but your reproductive phase, your seed fill duration might not change as much. So if you increase number of beans, your individual weight of the beans might go down and you might not gain as much. But if you use these longer maturities, so to speak, you get a longer reproductive phase. And that's where it's like an add-on benefit. So I think we have seen that paying attention to your maturity while selecting your hybrids and variety is very critical. There's a gazillion other factors a farmer needs to be thinking while selecting their varieties, right? But I think honing more onto this optimal maturity based on the planting time is very critical as well.
Yeah, you've hit it right on the nose. And boy, I have so many more questions. I'm going to have you back on the show here to dive into, you know, variety selection. I think is a topic we could spend, you know, an hour on.
Yep, I totally agree. So again, there's a lot in this domain, right? Hopefully what we are discussing is generating some ideas, you know, and again, some questions, and we can always, you know, talk more, and we have more resources, you know, that one can look into.
Yep, very much so.
It's time for our famous three.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Well, let's jump into our final three questions, Manny. So the first question for you today is, what is your go-to agronomic resource?
That's a good one. To me, I think it has been changing maybe since I've been here. Now we have these soybean as well as corn agronomist groups, you know. I think agronomists might be guilty of, you know, working in silo. You know, I'm working in Michigan, you're working in Iowa, and we are generating our own recommendations even with neighboring states. But now we have these multi-state groups that are working together in generating recommendations. Science for Success is one for soybean that's been around for 6-7 years now. Corn is a new group for agronomy, corn agronomists, and that's getting off the ground. And to me, I think that's a really good resource to begin with on top of my own university extension resources, right?
Yeah, it's been fun to, well, one, not only to work with various extension specialists across the whole U.S. In those groups, but also to learn from them. So that's been good. Okay, the second question, So I know you a little bit better than some of the other guests that we've had. So I know that you have a young family. So I'm still going to ask this question. What do you do in your free time? What do you enjoy doing outside of work?
I wish I had the luxury of the so-called free time, right? I think I sort of like engage my family. I think while I'm working, so if I'm going to any meeting, you know, I'll take them with me. You know, I love road trips. I think the reason I'm in extension is because I love driving. You know, I would drive anywhere I can, you know, and not fly if it's up to me. So having them, I think, on board helps me as well. It keeps me in check, and I think gives me more time to spend with them. I wish I had more time to like do activities just with them, and they sometimes complain, you know, that why you have to work while you know, being together. But that's the reality of it.
Yeah, it's fun having your kids around, and well, and travel, right? You get to see a lot of things that way. So, and then our third and final question is, where can listeners go to learn more about your cropping systems program?
So we have our website where we put all these resources, agronomy.msu.edu. So that's where we tend to put all of our materials, all of the presentations I give, all of the extension articles I have written are over there. We do have, or we are trying to have a presence on social media as well. We have a X account, Spartan Agronomy. We are on LinkedIn as well now. So again, I think we are trying to make sure that all of our materials are available online, easy to access formats for folks to look into, right? And they can always reach me if they have any questions via email, calls. I always enjoy having those discussions.
Very good, Manny. Thank you. So that concludes another episode of the Crop Science Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Manny, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. Until next time, this is Mark Licht with the Crop Science Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.